welcome, truth seekers. It's the Mike Malloy Show, and it is I. No, not Mike Malloy. No, not Laura Flanders, who was sitting in earlier this week. It is I, your friendly, humble citizen guest. Well, not guest. Guest host, but citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. We're here all night long. Delighted to be here. We're going to be here for the rest of the week, including tomorrow's big vice presidential debate. We're going to be carrying that in its entirety, or as much as we can sneak in, followed by a big bloggers roundtable. The hell with Chris Matthews. Who needs him and his professional spinners? We'll have our own spinners here in studio with us, actually quite a few of them. David Dayan from Calitex is going to be here, and Digby. Mark Danziger, Pamela Levy from the Democratic Daily, Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel will be with us tomorrow night, although by phone, she's not in town. Town? That's here, Los Angeles, where I'm broadcasting live for the next 3 hours, and I'm glad you could join us. It's going to be a big night. We're going to have, coming up this hour, Murray Wass from ABC Harper's Atlantic. He's going to join us to talk about some of the news that you may not have heard much about, seeing as how the media can only cover one story at a time, apparently. The story this week, obviously, is the economy and the debates. Those are the one story that they're covering at the same time. Not doing a very good job of either of them. What they haven't covered is the IG's report that came out concerning the U.S. attorney purge firing that happened over the last several years. We're going to talk to Murray Wass about that. Yeah, the White House is in trouble. Speaking of trouble for the White House, we're going to be joined by Cliff Arnebeck a little bit later on to discuss the latest developments in Ohio in a pretty extraordinary case. I know Laura Flanders had Mark Crispin Miller on earlier this week to talk about it a bit. This is an old standing election fraud case in the state of Ohio going back to 2004. Well, the judge has just lifted the stay, and some depositions have been some subpoenas have been issued in hopes of getting a deposition from a fellow by the name of Mike Connell, who is the GOP high-tech guru, not just in Ohio, but all around the country. He was the guy behind the Swift Boating Swift Boat Group. He was the guy who installed the firewall in the Congress, yes, in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. He's still working with John McCain. Anyway, he has been subpoenaed, and the judge has cleared the way for a subpoena of Karl Rove. We're going to talk about that with Cliff Arnebeck, the Ohio attorney who is handling the case out there, and which is moving forward quite quickly and interestingly. We'll also take your calls at 800-989-1480 as I can fit them in. I'm going to have Desi Doyen also later today with the Green News update. I was filling in for Randy a couple of weeks ago, and here was Desi sitting there ready to go with the Green News update, and I completely forgot it. That's what happens when you hire amateurs to do the radio shows. Speaking of amateurs, stop on by bradblog.com and jump into our open thread. It's at the very top of bradblog.com. The lovely, if sometimes irritable, Agent 99 will be your hostess in the open comment section. I will do my very best to keep an eye on that and so much more for the rest of the night. Let's start with, by the way, in the Senate. Right now, everybody probably knows the Senate is getting ready to vote on this bailout package, this ridiculous... we'll talk about that later. And the rest of the mainstream media chum, although I like to report on things that don't quite get the coverage that are deserved. For example, right now, and this actually came out from the mainstream media last night, I was pretty impressed, CBS News, Katie Couric had a report showing that massive voter purges are taking place in 19 states. Hello, people. Hello, Obama. Hello, Democratic National Committee. Where the hell are you? Thousands of voters are being removed from the rolls. The rolls have now been computerized and taken over by the very same private companies, ES&S, Diebold, Sequoia, The same ones that did such a lousy job with the voting machines that don't work around the country have now been rewarded and given contracts to run the rolls, the voting, the registration rolls. And, of course, what do you know, thousands and thousands of people in all kinds of states around the country, including battleground states such as Ohio, Michigan, Florida, these folks are being purged from the rolls. I'm going to say it now. I'm probably going to say it another 20 times tonight. Check your registration. Even if you've been registered, even if you voted in the primaries recently, check it again. You can go to Bradblog. Well, go to straight to votersunite.org. There's a link right over there that says, are you registered? And you can find out in all 50 states if you are, because I promise you, the bad guys are out there trying to keep you from voting this year. And they're working real hard at it, and they're real successful at it. And check out this report from CBS News. We got it over there at bradblog.com. And I will answer your questions all night on issues like that, on voting machines. That's what we cover quite a bit over at Bradblog. Because, frankly, the rest of the media is not paying attention to this. And to make things worse, neither is Barack Obama or the Democratic National Committee. I have no idea why. Perhaps it has something to do with this. They think they're going to win. A new poll out today in a Quinnipiac poll in three different battleground states. Barack Obama up 8 points in Florida, 8 points in Ohio, up 15 points in Pennsylvania. That's if you believe the polls. Now, I know a lot of people have said, I can't believe those polls back when they were tied. Nobody believed them, right? Well, I wouldn't believe them now either, frankly. Because there's going to be quite a few meltdowns that are going to occur between here and November. There's going to be a lot of surprises on Election Day, as I called the massive voter purges going on in 19 states. The November surprise, I think we're going to be rather stunned when we get there in November. The Democrats are going to be rather stunned. The Republicans are going to be grinning from ear to ear. Let's see this report from Ross Story. The Democratic candidate, Barack Obama, has surpassed 50% in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, and he holds a lead over McCain of 8 to 15 points in those states. In Florida, it's Obama with support from 51% of voters to McCain's 43%. In Ohio, it's Obama 50 to 42. Pennsylvania gives Obama his largest lead, 54 to 39, if you believe the polls. The poll reflects a small bounce compared to Obama's pre-debate numbers, reflects more voter confidence in his ability to handle the economy, so says Quinnipiac. But remember, Pennsylvania. And remember, I'm telling you this here and now. Pennsylvania, the Democrats who run the state there just came out with an edict that nobody has to give any voters any paper ballots unless every single voting machine breaks down in a precinct. What? Are they crazy? Yeah, they might be. Crazier still is the fact that, it doesn't seem that Barack Obama and the Democrats are doing anything about it. There's some other groups out there. 888-MYVOTE.org. They're doing something, National Lawyers Committee, but the Democrats and Barack Obama, nowhere to be found as far as I can tell. Not good news. We'll talk about more about those polls. We'll get your opinions on them as you like. 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. Brad Friedman in all night for Malloy. We're going to come up, Murray Wass coming up from ABC News. Oh, we're going to get the bad guys. We're going to work on it. We're going to get them one way or another. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stay with us. Brad Friedman in for Malloy tonight. Welcome back to the show. Stop on by bradblog.com. Jump into the open thread there. I'm going to do my best to keep my eyes on it. Want to go to Murray Wass here, a great investigative journalist. One of my favorites. Of course, that's not saying much because there ain't many left out there. But anyway, Murray Wass from ABC, Atlantic, Harper's, joins us to talk about the latest in this U.S. attorney firings, which, of course, no one is paying attention to. This extraordinary 389 pages, Murray?
I think so.
Something like that, yeah, with footnotes. A report came out, and not a single question was asked at the White House press conference the following day. I guess it just doesn't matter when you use politics to fire nine U.S. attorneys, nine Republican U.S. attorneys. Murray Wass, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you for having me.
I know you got the flu. You feeling how you hanging in there tonight?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Much appreciate you being with us. So this report comes back from the IG. This is the Department of Justice's own IG. And what are the – well, tell us what the main findings are before we get into the weeds a bit.
Well, aside from the findings, one of the things that despite the 300 and some pages and footnotes and documents and so many interviews that they did, the IG and another – watchdog agency came back. It was a joint report between two different investigative forces in the Justice Department. They said they couldn't get to the bottom of a lot of it because the White House, a number of White House officials, Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, the White House counsel at the time, a number of deputy White House counsel and associate White House counsel, all these officials working at the White House refused to give interviews to their own Department of Justice.
They did not have the same executive privilege opportunity that they invoked in the with Congress. They're supposed to cooperate with their own Department of Justice, correct?
Well, the Department of Justice is in the executive branch, and the White House leads, the president is in charge of the executive branch. So there's not, the whole executive privilege legal argument is based on this separation of powers, Congress and so forth.
And what was the excuse?
There was actually an extraordinary statement in the report that says that the White House counsel told Karl Rove, they told their own former counsel that they could cooperate with the investigation. Not only could they, but they encouraged them to. So here we have...
Was that Fred Fielding, Murray?
Right, Fred Fielding gave that instruction.
Instructed Karl Rove to go ahead and talk to them, and then Karl Rove said, I'm not gonna. What reason did he give?
He didn't give any. They didn't show up. They didn't return the call. This particular part of the Justice Department doesn't have subpoena power because what it does is it does ethics investigations within the Justice Department itself. So that's why we have the Attorney General now saying, okay, if they refuse to cooperate, we're going to set up a federal grand jury and have a federal prosecutor look at this. But I think, again, what's so kind of extraordinary is the message it sends. But I think one of the things that's not coming out in this is the message it sends to the ordinary citizen. Like if we're a victim of a crime, if we witnessed a crime, if we're interviewed by the FBI or Justice Department, we're expected. It's our civic duty, civic responsibility to cooperate. When people in the White House thumb their noses not at Congress or the press, but at the Department of Justice in their own executive branch, sends a message right from the President of the United States.
Well, sure it does. But I wrote about this last week at the Guardian, UK Guardian, that we are officially an outlaw nation. And the fact is, you know, Rove didn't show up for the U.S. House when they subpoenaed him. He didn't show up to talk to these people. And what happened up in Alaska? Sarah Palin's wife, Todd, and five others decided they didn't need to answer subpoenas either. I mean, a fish rots from the head down, Murray, and that's what's going on. People are realizing, oh, we don't need to bother. Let me break in to myself here with a bit of breaking news. 60 senators have voted yes for the financial rescue bill. Who's calling it that? That would be Yahoo is now calling it a rescue bill. I guess Fox News determines what that's going to be called. So 60 senators have voted for the bailout bill. The House, of course, still has to pass that. We'll see what happens there.
Is Congress going to bail us out, too?
They ain't bailing anybody out. If you ain't a banker, you get nothing.
Yeah. I haven't been really paying attention to that story.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
You mean
don't want to.
Nothing?
You get nothing.
Or we get something indirectly.
Well, let's see.
Murray,
yeah. has your house been foreclosed?
I rent, thank God.
All right. Well, if your house had been foreclosed, you would still get nothing, if I understand it. However, the people who own your mortgages, they'd get something, and it's a mess. But let's not get too far afield. We'll get back to that that nightmare a little bit later. Media chum, as I like to call it. In any case, and we got to get to a quick break here. But so Rove just decided he's not going to show up. There's no information in the report as far as an excuse that he gave. He just showed up.
Didn't actually say anything. Some of the other people, there are a number of senators. Two senators worked really hard for the removal of a couple of U.S. attorneys in L.A. And in that case, Pete Domenici, the outgoing senator, also just thumbed his nose.
He sure did. And he, along with Heather Wilson in New Mexico, were these folks who were pushing this voter fraud nonsense that is at the very heart of the election that we're looking at in the next couple of weeks. Speaking with Murray Wass from ABC News of late, we'll take your calls for him, 800-989-1480. And a whole lot more ahead. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in. Delighted to be here all night long. Check out the chat room. Say hello to Agent 99. We're back with much, much more right after this. 90 minutes from New York to Paris. Well, by 76 we'll be A-OK. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be. It ain't. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. I'm not gonna. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Clowns to the left and the right all voted for the $700 billion bailout tonight in the Senate. Just passed moments ago. Even the bottom of the hour news didn't seem to have it yet, but we got it. It's passed. It's done. It ain't gone through the House yet. They had to add a bunch of incentives like what? Tax breaks. Oh, good. That'll make the Republicans happy. More tax breaks. We're speaking with Murray Wass. Before we get to that, a quick correction. In the first segment, I noticed apparently Agent 99 over at BradBlog.com has instructed me that apparently I said Sarah Palin's wife, Todd. That would be my mistake. I apologize for that. Of course, Sarah Palin's wife would be Katie Couric. So we will talk about more of Sarah Palin, her discussions with Katie Couric. Hey, note to Sarah, stop talking to Katie. It ain't helping. Wait to hear what she had to say about abortion. Man alive. We will get to that later on in the show. Brad Friedman in from Malloy. Talking to Murray Wass. Okay, Murray, we're talking about this U.S. attorney firings, the IG's report that came out. It was actually the IG and the OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility. They got together to create a report that, I got to tell you, sounded in the end a whole bunch to me like Fitzgerald's report on the Valerie Plame thing. They seemed to indicate, oh, the White House kicked sand in her face so we couldn't figure it out. Am I correct on that?
Correct. The investigation was just severely hampered by the lack of cooperation from the White House. And despite that, though, they uncovered a lot of new information that the White House was behind several of the firings.
And what kind of new information? What kind of new information were they able to uncover?
Well, there was a guy, Todd Graves, who was the Republican U.S. attorney in Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
He's a conservative Republican, but a great prosecutor. someone who wasn't talked about a lot in the press, because we didn't learn who's the knife man out, I called him in a column.
Right.
Because we didn't know about him until the end, but he's actually the first guy fired. And his home state senator, Senator Bond, not sure if his first name's Kit or Kip.
Kit Bond, yeah, in Missouri.
Had a feud with the U.S. attorney's brother, who is a congressman named Sam Graves.
Mm-hmm.
So the senator and the congressman had some disagreement over some local thing that had nothing to do with the Department of Justice. And because he was mad at the Graves brothers, he asked the White House to get rid of Todd Graves. And Todd Graves, who I know and have written about a great deal, had no idea why he was fired at the time.
Yeah, you have. And by the way, I'm not quite as crazy about him as I think you are. But the bottom line was the report indicates that it was just a spiteful little thing from Kit Bond, who said, I want these guys out. And the White House said, sure, we'll do it.
Yeah, the White House, the guy complained to the White House. Now, what they say in each of these cases, which I think is the case, is they're not, I think in this case, they might have jumped to the gun a little bit or came to a premature conclusion.
Because
they say, we don't know all the facts because we didn't get any documents from the White House.
Right.
We didn't get witnesses from the White House. We didn't get their cooperation.
Right.
And so we don't know what documents there are in the White House counsel's office, elsewhere in the White House, that they're, the thing that you like so much, voting fraud issues, might have played a role in his firing as well. Or might have even been, you know, the preeminent reason beyond.
Well, we know that it and they were able to confirm. Let's move over to New Mexico and David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney who was fired, who was definitely hit up by a number of Republicans. They were pressuring him to bring phony voter fraud cases. Of course, they didn't say they were phony, but in fact, they were. If you talk to, if you talk to Iglesias himself, they looked at it, thousands of charges of voter fraud that frankly didn't exist, and he said, no, I'm not going to bring these cases. Were they able to uncover further information, corroborate those details, the reports that folks like you had brought out on that issue earlier?
Well, David Iglesias primarily got fired because these New Mexico Republicans were constantly complaining to the White House, and in particular, Senator Pete Domenici, the report says, personally called Alberto Gonzalez three times complaining about David Iglesias, called the Deputy Attorney General in addition to the Attorney General.
Gonzalez himself called him?
Senator Domenici personally called Alberto Gonzalez three different times,
right,
in an effort to get David Iglesias fired. And then also called, for good measure, the Deputy Attorney General, Gonzalez's number two. So he complained four times directly. His chief of staff complained continuously to the White House.
And was there any other reason for the complaint other than this voter fraud issue, that he wouldn't bring the cases that he wanted him to bring? Did they find out any other?
Well, there was another thing. There was some corruption investigations of Democrats going on in New Mexico. And in 2006, the congressional elections, Heather Wilson, the congresswoman there, thought that he should have indicted somebody or brought indictments before the election to help her get elected. And she called him and kind of leaned on him, according to the report. And then Senator Domenici, who was trying to get him fired, called him right before the election and said, are there going to be any indictments brought? And Iglesias has since said this was highly inappropriate and improper, and he felt kind of pressured to kind of bring a case when it shouldn't have been brought.
Meanwhile,
but they were hoping that these indictments would be brought because this congresswoman was actually in New Mexico at the time, was in this razor-tight race with to retain her seat against New Mexico's attorney general.
And, and by the way, she should have challenged that election because it was really close, and candidates like her need to stand up and not concede elections until they actually count all the damn votes. I don't think that's asking too much. Speaking with Murray Wass from ABC, Atlantic, whoever else will have him. Murray, moving back then to Missouri, they were successful Todd Graves was replaced. He was replaced by Brad Schlossman, and in fact, he was willing to bring voter fraud cases just prior to elections, even though that is against the DOJ bylaws, right?
Well, 4 days before the election,
yeah,
he brought criminal charges against these workers for this group called Acorn,
yep,
saying that they had did phony ballots or whatever. He was in such a hurry. Well, first of all, the people who work for him and the people at DOJ said, our guidelines, our rules are you don't indict before an election because it gives the appearance or actually is the intent to affect the election and puts the entire Department of Justice reputation at risk. But he did that anyway. He brought the indictment, mm-hmm, and he was so emphatic or wanting to bring this indictment so badly that what he did was, in one instance, he indicted the wrong person. There was a person who they meant to
That's
indict,
right,
and there was someone with a similar name. So this poor woman,
yeah, I remember,
wakes
that
up one day, and to federal marshals knocking at her door or arresting her or whatever,
yeah,
she's the totally wrong person. And I don't know of a single – I kind of asked around, because if you asked about it, it would be one of those things that's an urban myth or something, and someone with the same name.
Yeah, no, it was
gets
true.
Indicted.
I remember it was true. I spoke with Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan's office, and they pointed out that very thing. And what did they have to do? They had to unindict them and cancel the whole thing, and then reindict the person they meant to. Is that what happened?
I guess. Well, I'm sure they dropped the charge against the poor woman who wasn't the person they meant to charge. And then the woman they indicted, I think, had a breakdown of some kind. I'm not sure what the ultimate disposition of those charges were, but it wasn't exactly the most earth-shattering, case
no,
in the world.
And all four, as I recall, all four of those charges were dismissed, were they not?
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, as I recall, it was one of these Acorn cases, and these are the guys, you're going to hear about them more and more between here and November 4th. Speaking with Murray Watts, give us a call if you like, 800-989-1480. We will take your calls momentarily and in the next segment if Murray's flu is will allow you to stay with us.
Some other breaking news.
Oh, you got it? What'd you got?
Barack Obama has, according to a CBS News New York Times poll, has taken a commanding lead, one way beyond statistically significant lead, according to the Times, over McCain, 49% for Obama, 40% for McCain.
A nine-point
margin.
Yeah, and I see another one, AP poll. I don't know if it's the same one. AP is reporting there's a seven-point lead over McCain. Don't believe it. Don't buy it, because you haven't seen the November surprise yet. Murray Wass, hang in there if you can. You feeling all right? Stay with us?
Sure.
All right, we're going to take your calls. Give us a call, 800-989-1480. Lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy. It's 44 After. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy tonight. We're speaking with Murray Wass from ABC News and Atlantic, and I keep forgetting, Harper's, yeah, and occasionally National Journal and stuff like that, talking about this U.S. attorney purge. No, this isn't a flashback. Yes, this still matters. It even matters as much, as far as I'm concerned, as this $700 billion bailout package that they have passed in the Senate tonight just minutes ago. The reason this matters, the reason the U.S. attorney purge, in case you're not paying attention, at the very heart of it, is elections, and is this phony voter fraud nonsense. I started to talk a little bit about Acorn, Republicans' favorite whipping boy at this point. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff about voter fraud. This group, Acorn, they have registered millions of low-income voters, and the Republicans love to say that they're out there committing voter fraud. Well, they're not. And here's what's happening, and here's what they don't tell you. The fact is, Acorn verifies, calls up every single registration that they bring in. Every single phone number that they get, they call to verify. If they can't verify it, they flag the registration as possibly fraudulent. But what the Republicans don't tell you when they say that Acorn turned in all these fraudulent registration forms, Acorn has to turn them in. By law, they can't just throw away registration forms. No, that's left to the Republican registration people. In this case, they've got to turn it in. They tell the officials, hey, we believe these are fraudulent or that they're missing information and so forth. The thanks they get is these jerks, these election officials, and they're not all jerks, but some of them are, turn around and say, hey, Acorn is giving us thousands of phony registration, blah, blah, blah. It's a phony case, and you're going to hear a lot about that. Anyway, that is at the very heart of this U.S. attorney purge, where they're pushing these guys out because they won't bring in phony voter fraud and, of course, phony voter fraud charges, pushing out their own people. And the IG wasn't able to get to it. The Department of Justice's own IG wasn't able to get to the matter. So now they've recommended it that it be taken up by a special prosecutor, and that'll be Nora R. Danahy. Murray Wass, what do we know about Nora R. Danahy, and will she be able to get to the bottom of this issue?
Well, it's unclear because she's not a special prosecutor in that she's independent of the Department of Justice. Like, Pat Fitzgerald was a special prosecutor who had these extraordinary powers and authorities to bring indictments, to subpoena people. So she has to go to the Deputy Attorney General or go to her supervisors before she can subpoena people from the White House, before she can do just about anything.
She's got to get permission to do
these
things?
Yeah, Patrick Fitzgerald was what his boss called the de facto attorney general. He's given, even though he was right under the Department of Justice, he's giving this authority to indict people, to bring charges, to call people before a grand jury, to impanel a grand jury. This woman doesn't have that power. She's what they call de facto U.S. attorney.
Murray, they're doing nothing but running out the clock at this point. They've run it out this far. They're prepared to pardon these folks. Do you have any reason to believe that they wouldn't just pardon these folks in advance to cut this thing off at the knees before they leave office, Murray?
Well, you can't indict without charges, so running out the clock might not be the best strategy for some of these guys.
What do you mean you can't indict without charges? You mean you can't pardon?
I mean you can't pardon without an indictment first. You can't pardon someone without a charge being brought.
You're sure about that?
Nixon was, but I think that was a special case. I don't know. We'll hear.
Yeah, I think
from...
they can do a preemptive pardon. Let me get to a caller here real quick. Marilyn in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk, AM 1150, we hope. Marilyn, welcome to the Malloy Show. Oh, I got to do that, don't I? I'll figure this out. Okay, there we go. Now we got her. Marilyn?
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Marilyn. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. I've actually seen you in person here, Brad. You're amazing.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you. I would wish you would speak to the Don Siegelman case, which is another aspect of the corruption in the Attorney General's office and DOJ, because those attorneys in Alabama did the political hit on Don Siegelman and flipped his votes, and they didn't get fired, but the people who got fired were the ones who wouldn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and we can I'll try to remember to bring that up with Cliff Arnebeck in the next hour. He may have some thoughts on that. Thanks for the call, Marilyn. Any thoughts on how this all ties into the U.S. attorneys down in Alabama and this Don Siegelman case, Murray Wass?
I haven't really followed the Siegelman case, so I can't speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything, the fact that we're even discussing it or have suspicions about something, you ordinarily want think this way about your Department of Justice, and hopefully things will get back to normal sometime soon.
I don't have a lot of confidence in that ever happening, and at least not for many years, because these people, these guys, what we know about Monica Goodling, these career attorneys that they were hiring, these people have infiltrated, so to speak, the Department of Justice like a virus, as far as I'm concerned. And these people who were hired, not supposed to be political, but they were hired for political reasons, you know, if they believed they were Democratic, if they believed they were gay, they weren't hired. Those people now are going to be in this Department of Justice. They're career hires. They're going to be there for years, Murray.
Well, it remains to be seen how many, but I think it's more of an issue of good people who were turned down or good people who left, whether they're U.S. attorneys, work in the Civil Rights Division, whoever they are, they've gone out in the private sector. They've got jobs where they're making twice as much money now. They're not going back. Younger people who were denied entry, who should have been given entry-level jobs, are working in private firms now. So you lost the oldest generation of the best employees and the youngest as well.
I think it's going to be with us for years to come, no matter what happens this November. Murray Wass, thank you very much for fighting through your cold to be here with us. Really appreciate it. And appreciate all of the work that you're, the investigative work that you're doing, Murray.
Thanks again.
Thank you, brother. All right, Murray Wass from ABC, Harper's, whoever else will have him. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Oh, we got a lot of show ahead. Cliff Arnebeck joining us in the next hour. And your calls, and I really will take them this time if you give us a call, 800-989-1480. Talk about what the hell is going on in this election. Guess what? Check out bradblog.com. They're screwing up the ballots in Ohio again. Knock me over with a feather. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stick with us. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy all night long. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist blogger from bradblog.com. Glad you can be with us. We're going to be with you tonight, tomorrow, Friday, tomorrow night. Join us for the debate. Right afterwards, we're going to have a bloggers roundtable in studio. Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel is going to join us. David Dayan from Digby and Calitix. Mark Danziger from wherever hell he's from now, Arms of Winds of Change, that's right. Pamela Levy from TheDemocraticDaily.com, and one brave right winger by the name of Patrick Fry from Paterico. And he's going to be with us live in studio as well. We give him credit for showing up with this bunch. If you don't know me, I blog about, all kinds of things, corruption, troublemaking, muckraking, all of that sort of stuff. And, of course, with an eye towards election integrity, sort of a quick announcement here. If you haven't seen, well, most people haven't. This is just a film that was just released that I happen to be in, happens to tell my story, if you will, of my attempts to tell the story of Clint Curtis, the Florida software programmer who was asked by Congressman Tom Feeney to create vote rigging software. The film's called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. You can get more information at votinglies.com, or you can go over to Brad Blog. We're giving away as premiums, and maybe later this week, Friday, we'll be able to give away some signed DVDs to callers if we can get some help there for poor Ian Huff, who's working his butt off in Phoenix. thank you, Ian. Give us a call, by the way, 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. We would love to hear from you. Let's grab some quick calls here before we go over to Cliff Arnebeck in Ohio. Rich in Delray, Florida, welcome. Oh, that's right, I forget. I got to do that. Rich from Delray, Florida, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. How are you, sir?
Hi, Brad. Truth is all.
Really? Hi, Truth is All. How are you, sir?
Rich actually is the name, but you know me, I'm sure, on the net.
I do indeed, and Rich, and I should let other folks know, Truth Is All is the username you use out there on the net, at Democratic Underground, at Brad Blog. You have been following like a madman, and by the way, Rich, I never knew if you were a guy or a girl, so
well,
good
now
job.
You know.
And now I do. You have been covering problems with elections since at least the same moment I really started focusing on them, early morning hours of, what was it, November 3rd, 2004.
Actually, before that,
yeah?
2002.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah.
Well, you're doing a hell of a job. I wish I could understand more of what you write, because you cover the facts, the stats, the statistics. It's really hard to understand, and I think a lot of the bad guys are counting on that, Rich.
Well, you know, Brad, that's been one of the problems, but I've been trying to make it a little more digestible for the average person.
Yeah.
I would just like to say my work is on truthisall.net. That's my site.
Good.
And from there you could link to any number of postings that I've done on Democratic Underground, on Progressive Independent, on your site, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I just wanted to say that I do appreciate all the work that you've done, and you've got a tremendous amount of energy, and I just like to contribute. The best way I know how is through a mathematical analysis. And I just want to say, just to summarize what my basic feeling, as you probably well know, is that the elections have been stolen from 2002, 2004, 2006. We did better than we thought we did in the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I believe that 10 to 20 congressional seats were stolen. My concern is that just like I had determined my analysis that Kerry won the election quite easily in 2004.
Right.
And in fact, if you look at electoralvote.com, where they have the map, you'll see that the day before the election, he had a 50-point lead in the electoral vote.
He did, and that's why I keep telling people, don't look at these polls now. We're seeing 7-9 point leads nationally. We're seeing swing states like Florida with an 8-point lead, I believe it was today, in the Quinnipiac poll. Don't believe it. They're going to, do everything they can to keep people from voting at all. And then, yes, they can play with the numbers. It's just that easy. We're going to talk about that with Cliff Arnbeck in a second.
One of the key thing that I came up with, and I wasn't the only one. Other people have come up with the same thing independently.
Yeah.
Which really proves that the election was stolen in 2004, is that the final exit poll was forced to match the recorded vote using impossible weightings, mathematically impossible. In other words, according to the final exit poll, national exit poll,
right,
there were 7 million more Bush voters than there could have been, because he had only 50 million votes. But when you deduct the numbers who were still living 4 years 4 years later,
right,
he had 50 million in 2000. When you go through the simple mathematics, they overstate the returning Bush voter by 4 to 5 or 6 million.
And they had to do that. And Rich, I got to move on. But check out truthisall.net, correct?
Yeah.
Truthisall.net. And I have a feeling you're going to have a long couple of months ahead of us, Rich.
So, well, I keep posting every week. I update the polls and the analysis. And people can go to truthisall.net and then link from there. It's the one thing I would say. I know I only have a minute or so, but
yeah, quick.
They should Google the election model. Election model, two words.
All right.
Okay. That will take them, there are literally hundreds of thousands of hits, but my models are right up at the top. And if they want to take a look at the 2008 election model as well as 2004,
yep,
they can just Google election model It'll give them all the information
Thanks, Rich.
That they want to see.
Thanks, Rich. I got to roll. Thanks for all you do. Really appreciate it. Boy, there's truth is all right there. Yeah, check out his stuff, especially if you're a mathematician, a statistician. He's got the numbers, and he's bothering to go through them when most folks aren't. And I think he's going to have a very busy fall, autumn, like all of us, unfortunately. Sean in Vancouver, Washington. There we go. Sean in Vancouver, Washington. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, I just wanted to give a quick thanks to Senator Sanders, Senator Wyden, Senator Cantwell, Senator Feingold. They all, you know...
Voted no?
They all voted no. They dug down deep within themselves and held true to their progressive roots. They all deserve some respect here. But, however, I was surprised. You know, I consider myself sort of jaded, you know, after Panama, SNL, Iraq, all that.
Yeah.
But I was surprised at how heartbroken I was this evening. And I had to remind myself, you know, that DVD, the corporation, is out there, and it talks about how corporations are basically externalizing machines, and they're also psychopathic. The fact is they see the people on Wall Street as human, and they see the rest of us as not quite fully human. So they're simply incapable of empathizing with the 80% of the American people or so who are totally against this bailout. And they looked out, their elite buddies, they are human, and so they, you know, they treated them as humans.
It's a great film, The Corporation. Definitely check that out. And yeah, that's what they're doing. The corporations come first, the businesses come first, the people come second. And I hadn't had the chance to look at the yays and nays on that. I'm delighted to hear that Feingold and Sanders voted against it. Thanks,
Brad.
For that. Yeah.
Brad, how do you feel about, I mean, Obama and McCain, I mean, both of them are just acting like, you know, Goldman Sachs sock puppets. I mean, it's just, you know, what are we supposed to do? I mean, Nader is out there, but what are we supposed to do?
Well, you're supposed to raise holy hell. And frankly, yeah, I don't know where you're, well, you're up in Washington. It's going to be close up there. You know, if you're in a state where you can afford to vote for a third party, vote for a third party.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a state where it's going to, you know, where it's going to cost Obama, cost the Democrats, you know, think twice before you do that.
Well,
we're going to have Cynthia McKinney on Friday, hopefully, to talk about that. But
it seems like the fox has begun eating the hens. You know, where's the FBI? Where's the Attorney General to raid the Goldman Sachs headquarters and put these people in prison and see their email records?
Nowhere to be found. The Goldman Sachs, they're running the joint.
That's right.
The Treasury Secretary. Thanks for the call, Sean.
Thank
I got to get
Thank
to a break. They're running the joint. You don't wait for anyone. Ain't nobody showing up to help. Who's going to help? You. We the people. This November, but we're going to have to fight like hell for it. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Cliff Arnebeck coming up right after this break. 16 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy tonight and for the rest of the week. Stop on by BradBlog.com for our open thread. Agent 99 is keeping an eye on things over there. And you can also read about how in Ohio now, 12 different counties have these split ballots. And I got a picture of the ballot over there, these split ballots for the presidential race. It's incredible. They're doing it again. And I've got a note into the Secretary of State there, Jennifer Brunner, trying to figure out if they approve this ballot. But you've got four or five candidates in one column. Barack Obama is at the bottom. And then you've got a second column at the very top. They list a couple more candidates. So the fear is there's going to be a lot of people voting twice, not understanding that that's one race. Bad ballot design. 12 different counties in Ohio. Who do you think is going to pay the price for that? Well, we're going to talk in a second with Cliff Arnbeck about that. But I also wanted to make sure you check that story out at Brad Blog, and also the report from CBS News and the Brennan Center showing that there are massive voter roll purges going on in 19 states. People, check your registration. I can't say it enough. Go to votersunite.org. They got a nice page. It's easy. Click in. Make sure you're registered. I don't care if you just voted in a primary last week. Make sure you're registered. And then when it comes to the candidates, all I ask is that you demand that if they want your support, they give you their support. How? By pledging to not concede the election until every vote is counted accurately, and if there are any challenges that they don't concede, they first go to court, do whatever they have to do. And that has been made easy for you at standingforvoters.org. It's a new campaign set up by velvetrevolution.us, which I happen to be a co-founder of, and basically, it gives you the information to give to your candidates to say, we'll support you, we'll help you if you help us by signing the pledge that says, I'm not going to concede this year. And it doesn't count if they just say it out loud the way John Kerry did. No, make them sign their name to it or tell them that Brad says they can go to hell. Standingforvoters.org. Please make them sign that pledge. All right, we're going to jump in here with Cliff Arnbeck. Ohio attorney. I'll see. I got to figure out. Here we go. Okay. There we go. Got him. Cliff Arnbeck, Ohio attorney who has, made some waves out there in Columbus in this long-standing King Lincoln Bronzeville versus Ohio Secretary of State lawsuit. This goes back to 2004. It had been stayed for a long time as the parties were settling, as the new Secretary of State, Democratic Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner, came in. But there have been some, quite a bit of movement there. A fellow by the name of Mike Connell, and I'll let Cliff tell you a little bit about what has happened and this deposition, hopefully, of Mike Connell. Cliff, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Nice to be with you, Brad.
Really appreciate you staying up late out there tonight. Give us a quick idea before we have to go to the break. We'll talk some more after the break. Who is Mike McConnell? Why is he important? And why has that been the interest in speaking to him been enough to let the judge lift the stay and allow you to subpoena Mike McConnell for a deposition?
Mike Connell is a leading information technology specialist for the Republican Party. He has been the IT guy for the two Bush campaigns, 2000-2004, and he's also the leading IT guy for the McCain campaign. And he's had other important responsibilities. He's been doing the email processing for the White House.
RNC.
He's been doing it for key committees in the Congress, including since they've come under Democratic control. And interestingly, perhaps the biggest theft of an election in history was the 2004 election, and much of it focused upon Ohio. And at that critical time, while Connell was the IT guy for the Bush campaign, he was also designing the data processing system for the Secretary of State
in
Ohio,
right.
Ken Blackwell. Bit of a conflict of interest. And part of the design of that system included hosting the counting of the votes on election night on a Republican company's servers based in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the company's called SmartTech, and this creates the appearance of a real serious compromise in the integrity and the security of the vote counting process.
And SmartTech was his company, right? And that was where, in the middle of the night, I think it was around 1 a.m., when everyone was looking towards Ohio, looking at that website, all of a sudden the servers in Ohio that were reporting the election results suddenly moved down to Chattanooga, right?
That is at least one apparent anomaly here.
All right. We're going to talk more about that with Cliff Arnbeck here in a second, and just why those servers may have moved to Chattanooga in the middle of election night and whether that will happen again. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More Cliff Arnbeck, more of your calls, more of everything right after this. Back, Brad, in for Malloy, speaking with Cliff Arnbeck, Ohio attorney, and the man, you may have seen him on TV back in 2004. He has been fighting for election integrity in the Buckeye State. Boy, Cliff, I guess, I know you're still fighting about 2004 in this lawsuit. Just a quick impression, are we going to have a mess there again in 2008?
Well, one of the questions is whether the margin is going to be so large that it's really not a situation that they can steal, and if it's a landslide or something of that kind of magnitude, as occurred in 2006, that it just would be beyond the pale to try to steal it.
You don't give them enough credit, Cliff. let me read from Stephen Spoonmore. He's a GOP cybersecurity expert, and I know he's helping you on this case. He's an expert witness in this case, and he worked with this Mike Connell, who ran the Ohio 2004 election website servers and the entire system while he was working for George W. Bush. Here's what he said, what Spoonmore had to say about Connell, and Spoonmore worked with Connell. He says, let's see, Mike clearly agrees, they've talked about these issues in his declaration. He says, Mike clearly agrees that the electronic voting system in the U.S. are not secure. He further made a statement that he is afraid that some of the more ruthless partisans of the GOP may have exploited systems he in part worked on for this purpose. Mr. Connell builds front-end applications, user interfaces, and websites. Knowing his team and their skills, I find it unlikely, says Spoonmore, they would be the vote thieves directly. I believe, however, he knows who is doing that work and has likely turned a blind eye to this activity. Mr. Connell is a devout Catholic. He has admitted to me in his zeal to, quote, save the unborn, he may have helped others who have compromised elections. He was clearly uncomfortable when I asked directly about Ohio 2004. So you have now subpoenaed Mike Connell, and he is fighting to quash this subpoena, correct?
That's correct.
And I want to talk about the reasons why in a second, but one of the things, and the reason this is important, is not so much Connell himself, but is it your belief or Spoonmore's belief that he will flip, so to speak, sing on others, like, for example, one guy named Karl Rove?
Our understanding is that he takes his religion seriously. It's not crazy,
right.
And he takes the oath that you take when you you're a witness under oath. He takes that seriously, and if asked proper questions, he will give truthful answers. That's what we're told by Stephen Spoonmore, who's not just one of the leading cybersecurity people in the world, but also someone who has worked with Michael Connell in some pro-democracy activity around the world, as two fellow Republicans interested in that activity. In other words, Stephen Spoonmore is a pretty damn good judge of character, is saying he believes that Mike Connell is a good a person who acts in good faith.
And there was talk about offering Connell immunity if he would talk. Has that occurred?
Well, we held a news conference on July 17th,
right,
in which we had Stephen Spoonmore participating by telephone. And in that news conference, we identified Karl Rove as the principal perpetrator of what we believe is a very serious conspiracy that began in 2000 and continues to this very day. And we identified Michael Connell as a key witness to this conspiracy. Because as you know, Brad, the problem with these conspiracies is that the conspirators just don't say, well, hey, let's have a conspiracy and let's just go in a straightforward way to do it.
Right.
They generally segment it so that there is no one witness who can pull it all together and expose it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting thing about Michael Connell is that he has been doing the IT work in practically every aspect of every phase of this conspiracy. And therefore, he is a person who can describe the vulnerabilities of the system, you know, where there were vulnerabilities and who was involved. And
Wherever questionable elections show up in 2000 and 2002, 2004, it seems like Connell is always there in some fashion, or one of his companies.
Well, yeah, it's been the Bush campaigns, and Connell's been doing the data processing design and web hosting, et cetera, web design for those campaigns, and it also coincidentally with other activities on the corporate side. And what we have identified is something that this is not just stealing elections. This is also using corporate front groups to finance and advertise to influence the elections in a fraudulent manner. And he's been an instrument of those activities as well.
Now, has the judge? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We think that the bad guy is Karl Rove, the guy that's orchestrating all of this. We think that Connell is an important witness, and we believe that we said all this in a news conference.
Yes.
Back in July. Shortly thereafter, we received a tip from someone within the McCain campaign indicating that that a threat had been made by Karl Rove against Mike Connell, an effort to intimidate him from telling the truth as a witness. And we've reported this to all the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
and as part of our doing that, we also said we would like to see Mike Connell and his family given protection from this kind of threatening activity. And we are continuing to urge that and pursue it.
Now, has the judge cleared the way for you only to subpoena Mike Connell, or do you feel you're clear if you want to subpoena Karl Rove? And if you do, people have said, oh, well, he'll just ignore it the way he's ignored all the other subpoenas. He can't do that in this case, can he? Because it's a civil RICO case. Is that correct?
Well, it's not a RICO case yet. It is
okay.
A civil rights conspiracy case. And but we have asserted the claim. We've put a number of people on notice that we intend to bring such a claim, and so they're on notice, and they're told to hold documents, not destroy documents relevant to that claim.
And would he be able to, in a claim, if it's not fully civil RICO, would he be able to invoke executive privilege here if he was subpoenaed, or is that something that? Because it doesn't have, well, I don't know. You, what do you say? Is he able to dodge this one too?
Well, RICO, the state RICO case that we have in mind is a quasi-criminal case, and we don't think that he's going to get away with that kind of privilege. Now, the problem you have is one of if someone is determined to avoid testifying.
Mm-hmm.
Or to delay testifying, and employs a law firm to engage in every maneuver to delay.
Right.
There are lots of maneuvers that can be done to delay giving a deposition. So
Oh, it's going to be delayed. They're going to delay, and he's going to, you know, I'm worried that Bush is going to give some blanket pardons out before he leaves. But let me grab a quick caller here from Ohio. Shirley, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hello. I live in Ohio, and I want to thank you both for working so hard for my vote.
I want to thank you for living in Ohio.
Anyhow, what I was calling about is, do you happen to know what counties it is that they're doing the split vote screen?
Yeah, I do, and it's 12.
I'm a truck driver, and I can't get to the internet to read it.
Okay, I will deliver. I will be Google for you, Shirley. The 12 counties where they're having those split ballots are Ashtabula, Athens, Auglaize, Champaign, Delaware, Lawrence, Logan, Madison, Ottawa, Seneca, Shelby, and Wyandotte.
Thank you. I live in Wayne County. Thank you.
In Wayne County?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're okay on this one. Yeah, but you've got plenty of other problems. So
I know.
Get off the road. Get back to Ohio. We need you there.
I told them I have to be home for voting day. That's not a problem.
We need you home for voting day. We need you home before voting day. And
I've got my kids working for it right now.
And if things work out the way I suspect they might, we might need you home for a few days or weeks after voting day. Thanks, Shirley.
Thank you.
All right. Cliff Arnbeck, stick with us. We're going to be back with some more thoughts and questions for Cliff. And plenty more ahead in the next hour. Green News. Sarah Palin. I'll throw you some media chum. Sarah Palin and her comments to Katie Couric on abortion and the morning after bill. You're not going to believe this. If you haven't heard it, stick around. Brad, in for Malloy, 45 after. On his web. Brad Friedman in for Malloy tonight. Here's what Paul Weyrich, the conservative founding father, had to say to a bunch of preachers in Dallas in 1980. This will give you an idea what the Republicans are up to this year more than ever.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Yeah. That was Paul Weyrich back in 1980, and the Republican Party has perfected the idea of keeping the voting populace down to keep their leverage in elections up. And this year, once again in the Buckeye State, I fear that the front-end voter suppression that's going to go on, voter purging that is going to go on, is going to be bad. And then the back-end electronic voting mayhem that these guys can cause is going to be bad as well. Cliff Arnbeck is an Ohio attorney, and he is fighting still this 2004 case about what happened in 2004, getting down to the nub of it with this Mike Connell, GOP high-tech guru. I believe it was your partner, Bob Petrakis, down there, Cliff, who called Mike Connell a high-tech Forrest Gump at the scene of every crime. They're trying to subpoena him. They've finally been cleared. The way has been cleared by the judge to subpoena Mike Connell. And Cliff Arnbeck believes the trail will lead hot to Karl Rove. Interesting reason that Connell gave to fight the subpoena. He said, when you guys asked for the architecture map for the system that he set up to run on election night for the Ohio Secretary of State in 2004 for that computer system, He said that that was all public records, so they didn't need you. He didn't need to give it to you. But then on the other hand, he said all of that stuff is confidential, trade secrets, and proprietary information that he can't give you.
Right, a little bit of a contradiction.
Yeah,
they're going to fight. His law firm is going to fight against producing anything or giving any testimony before the election. Just to put this thing in, give it some balance. The Secretary of State of Ohio is Jennifer Bruner, a former judge, highly respected by people, objective people on both sides of the aisle. She is a dream come true as far as the public interest is concerned. What we originally asked for in our King Lincoln case was for the federal court to appoint a special master to oversee the 2006 election to prevent partisan manipulation by Ken Blackwell. Well, we now have a judge of high quality in the office of Secretary of State, and I think everyone who cares about the integrity of the process is really pleased and excited that we have her. And in order for us to pursue Karl Rove and others that we would like to pursue for depositions, in addition to Mike Connell, we have to have the concurrence of the Secretary of State. And, of course, we feel, because of her integrity and her competence, her judgment, that we're going to have that concurrence. And so we will be making the effort. Furthermore, Jennifer Bruner is functioning to listen to any news or tips about plans to fraudulently manipulate the 2008 election,
mm-hmm.
and we're authorized to communicate with her directly. So we're communicating information we have directly to her, and she is in charge of making sure the cops are on the beat to prevent this kind of fraud happening, and that's the best hope we have, that the audits and the processes that she puts in place, the supervision she puts in place, will keep the system honest.
We're speaking with Cliff Arnbeck, the Ohio attorney, who's fighting the good fight out there, even going back to 2004. We'll have a minute or two for your calls if you want to give us a shout, 800-989-1480. If you have a question for Cliff about Ohio, we got some other folks on the line. I'm going to get to you guys, I promise, after the top of the hour, because I want to focus on Cliff while we do have him here. Can all of this? I know you said, and one of the reasons you gave for wanting to lift the stay and to depose Connell was to try to make a difference in 2008 by putting these guys on notice, so to speak. Do you think that this effort will make a difference? And if so, how? Prior to 2008,
our understanding is that there is turmoil within the McCain campaign. The reason for that is that, keep in mind that this is a guy that ran in 2000 on the Straight Talk Express.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that we know have high levels of integrity, including his general counsel, are associated with that campaign. Now you introduce into that campaign Karl Rove, who's a sociopath. He's been stealing elections since college days, and he has a great deal of power, but it creates a conflict, and particularly so when a courageous person like Stephen Spoonamore steps forward to sound the alarm about what's been going on and helps us identify a key witness that can really expose this fraud. Our understanding is that there is an internal conflict. We're hoping that in the course of the next, as the campaign proceeds, that the forces of honesty and integrity in the McCain campaign will disown, disavow, expose, and this whole Rove operation will come falling down.
Don't count on it. Cliff Arnbeck, thanks for fighting nonetheless. You're a hero to a lot of folks, and thank you for all that you're doing out there. Boy, I hope you have an easy November.
Brad, thank you for the honest and aggressive journalism that you provided on this, because there's been a void, and you know it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Keep up the good fight. Let me know how I can help. Cliff Arnbeck from Ohio. There's going to be a lot more in that case, I suspect. If you're hanging on the line, stick with us. We got Sarah Palin coming back after the top of the hour. I know you don't want to miss that. It's Media Chum. Sarah Palin, managing expectations. Not my job. Brad Friedman. In for Mike Malloy. Oh, we're going to have a Green News night. Des, you ready for Green News in the next hour? Yeah? Yeah, okay. Des will be back. All kinds of things. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman. Check us out at bradblog.com. Agent 99, please be nice to the people there. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for one more hour tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with the vice presidential debate. Going to carry just about all of that if we can. Followed by a bloggers roundtable where we say to hell with Wolf Blitzer. To hell with Chris Matthews. We got our own experts. We don't need you losers. Our experts will be a bloggers roundtable. David Dayen from Calitics and Digby. Hullabaloo. Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel. Mark Danziger from WindsOfChange.net. He blogs as Armed Liberal. Pamela Levy from TheDemocraticDaily.com. Of course, myself from BradBlog.com. And one brave right-winger, a fellow by the name of Patrick Fry, Paterico. Looking forward to that discussion. What could possibly go wrong in that debate tomorrow? I'm going to play you some audio here from Sarah Palin in a second, who needs to stop speaking to Katie Couric. Really, she does. But anyway, let me get a quick question here. Oh, I should have mentioned, by the way, RoveCybergate.com. That's the address where you can follow along with this case in Ohio with Cliff Arnbeck that we were speaking about last time. You can see some extraordinary videos from Stephen Spoonamore, the Republican cybersecurity expert, who he's got some extraordinary things to say about the electronic voting system in Ohio, the way it was run out there, RoveCybergate.com. Let's get in some quick questions, and then, yeah, Sarah Palin coming up. Barry in Indiana, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Listen, I got you answered the first question I had, is where do we go to get more information to help investigate this deal going on in Ohio? And
yes, please.
What can the voting concerned public do to assist or donate these folks trying to bring these people to justice?
Well, thank you for asking. You can donate over at RoveCybergate.com, and it's a campaign put together by VelvetRevolution.us. And I should, full disclosure here, I am a co-founder of VelvetRevolution.us, but you can donate there or via RoveCybergate.com. To help support this effort, to help support the legal effort out there in Ohio. Voters and Democrats, progressives, even Republicans who give a damn about the rule of law and the Constitution need to realize they need to stand up and fight for their government. They need to fight to get their democracy back. It's not going to happen just by magic here. You've got to show up. You got to fight. You got to donate. You got to help these causes, because I promise you, the Republican bad guys are doing it plenty. Give us a call, 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Let's go down to Fort Lauderdale. There we go. Shirley in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Oh, Shirley. Oh, I can hear me. You need to turn down your radio, Shirley. I know you were on the air for on hold for a while. I appreciate that, but turn down the... Are you still there, Shirley? Oh, Shirley. All right. Oh, well, we will, we'll try to get back to Shirley in a second. Let me play some of this Sarah Palin. This is unbelievable. She keeps talking to Katie Couric. I don't know what she's thinking. Des, have you heard these Sarah Palin?
Yes, they're rather scary.
The abortion one, right?
Oh, no, I didn't hear
one.
No.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, I've cut these into two pieces. They're both real short. Well, they speak for themselves, I think, but I may have to speak over them. Here we go. Sarah Palin talking to Katie Couric on CBS.
If a 15-year-old is raped by her father, you believe it should be illegal for her to get an abortion. Why?
I am pro-life, and I'm unapologetic about my position there on pro-life, and I understand good people on both sides of the abortion debate. Now, I would counsel to choose life. I would like to see a culture of life in this country, but I would also like to see taking it one step further, not just saying I am pro-life and I want fewer and fewer abortions in this country, but I want then those women who find themselves in circumstances that are absolutely less than ideal, for them to be supported, for
less
adoptions to be made easier.
But ideally, you think it should be illegal for a girl who is raped or the victim of incest to get an abortion.
I'm saying that personally, I would counsel that person to choose life.
No, you wouldn't counsel it.
Horrific, horrific circumstances that this person would find themselves in. And if you're asking, though, kind of foundationally here, should anybody end up in jail for having had an abortion? Absolutely not. That's nothing that I would ever support.
So she would counsel to choose life.
In other words,
the
person gets a choice.
Well, that's right. Choose life. And she would counsel that. Now, that's not what she would like to do. She would like to make it illegal. That's not a choice. You know, and the same thing came up when it turned out that her daughter, Bristol, was pregnant. Remember her statement? She said, oh, I'm proud of the choice that Bristol made.
Again, she gave her daughter
apparently a choice. Bristol had a choice, and the fact that she refers to a father who rapes his 15-year-old daughter as, what was it, circumstances that are less than ideal. Is that just me?
No.
She wouldn't counsel it. She would like to make it illegal, and it continues. It gets worse. Here's what here's where Katie Couric picks it up.
Some people have credited the morning after pill as for decreasing the number of abortions. How do you feel about the morning after pill?
Well, I'm all for contraception, and I'm all for any preventative measures that are legal and safe and should be taken. But, Katie, again, I am one to believe that life starts at the moment of conception. And
I would like to see
fewer and fewer abortions in this world. And, again, I haven't spoken with anyone who disagrees with my position on that.
I'm sorry, I just want to ask you again, do you condone or condemn the morning after pill?
Personally, and this isn't a McCain-Palin policy,
no, that's okay, I'm just asking you.
But personally, I would not choose to participate in that kind of contraception.
She would not choose to participate. Again, the choice. But she's talking about contraception. She believes. Did you understand that?
Wait,
she says
she wouldn't choose to participate in the choice if she were raped. She would not. Is that what she's talking about?
Well,
yes, confused.
It comes out of the rape question. But no, she's saying the morning after pill. She believes life begins at conception, but she has no problem with the morning after pill. Can you do the math on that?
No.
Is it me? Am I wrong? Am I missing something? Jason, does it make any sense to you?
I think she needs to learn how to answer questions.
Well, I'll tell you what. Richard Vigory, and you give us a call, by the way, if you have a thought on Sarah Palin, 800-989-1480. Richard Vigory had this to say about Sarah Palin, and I think it's great. I completely agree. Richard Vigory is another one of these conservative founding fathers. They actually call him the funding father because he sort of invented this whole direct mail scheme. Anyway, I kind of like Richard Vigory. I've interviewed him before, but he's an unapologetic right-winger. He says, he put out an article that says, Unleash Sarah Palin, and I concur. John McCain may have one chance left, says Vigory, to win this election. The chairman of conservativehq.com, Richard Vigory, said, quote, he must free Sarah Palin to go after Barack Obama and the liberal Democrats, or he will almost certainly lose. The McCain campaign has put this pit bull with lipstick on a leash. The campaign has surrounded her with people from the Bush administration, and as we can see from the wreckage of the Bush presidencies, these folks don't have the slightest clue how to make a case to the American people. So, says Vigory, McCain has to get rid of these Bush people around Palin, along with the lobbyists and the folks from Washington, replace them with principled conservatives, blah, 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 who can make the case for conservatism. And let's see, where does he say? But the liberals are making this election about the record of the Bush administration and the GOP leadership in Congress. Ironically, a record of cronyism and big government. That's why they're ahead. But only Governor Palin can change that. She brings together all the types of conservatives, economic conservatives, religious conservatives, libertarians, value voters, blah, blah, blah. And she appeals to Americans in the center. That's why the left hates her, said McCain. Must remember why he picked Governor Palin and unleash her to do what she does best. I say yes, unleash her. Let her talk to as many people as possible, as many media as possible. I would love to hear from Sarah Palin every day. Please make my day. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy. More of your calls next. Stick with us. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Green news coming up after the bottom of the hour. Desi Doyen, you ready with the green news? You got the green news? Don't let me forget the green news.
Okay.
I forgot the green news last time when I was on with Randy. I don't know. There we go. 800-989-1480. Give us a call. Move On is calling for an apology from Tom Brokaw. If you saw last Sunday's Meet the Press, Brokaw ended the segment. It was a debate between a McCain strategist and an Obama strategist, and he said, in fairness to everybody here, the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll found that John McCain continues to lead Barack Obama on the question of who is best equipped to be commander-in-chief. Problem is, Tom Brokaw was lying. In fact, Nicole Bell over at Crooks and Liars pointed out that the numbers Brokaw read did not, in fact, appear in the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. In fact, they were from weeks ago, a poll that was taken right after the Republican convention, right and well before Friday's big national security debate. And in each of NBC's last two polls, Americans choose Obama over McCain. So Brokaw should apologize. There's that damn liberal media for you. Let's go to Brad, another Brad down there in Miami. Hey, Brad, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm fine, Brad. You?
Good, man. You know what? I'm a progressive and voting Democrat, as I usually do. But you know what? I wonder sometimes, do we serve ourselves well when we deal so much with the abortion issue, with fringe issues like abortion and homosexuality, which are really not going to change much, no matter who's in the presidency?
Well, no, and it's not a matter of dealing with the abortion issue. This came up. It was Katie Couric asked about it. Her answer saying that she believes that people should choose life. Well, she doesn't believe people should choose life. Sarah Palin doesn't. She wants to, you know, mandate what they can choose and not choose. She wants to choose, you know. I don't think anybody's making an issue of this, other than Sarah Palin, who apparently doesn't even understand how it goes. Let's go to Kevin in West Virginia. Kevin in West Virginia, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay. What's up, Kev?
Hey, I just wanted to go back to Sarah Palin. I was listening just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And is it just me, or does this woman scare the hell out of anybody else? I mean, she's could be a heartbeat away
from being president.
That's right. She should be scary. I mean, we're going to have a right-winger in here tomorrow on the debate. I'll ask him, would you vote for this woman for president? Because that's essentially what you're doing. And thanks for the call, Kevin. That's essentially what you're doing when you vote for John McCain. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, although I might tell you who not to vote for. This is the most irresponsible, unbelievable. Laura Bush even said that she did not have the foreign policy experience to be president. Kathleen Parker at the National Journal called for her to drop from the ticket, said it was a colossal mistake. George Will has said it was a mistake. David Brooks says it's embarrassing. And yet, John McCain, with all of his experience, has chosen this woman. It's terrifying. John and Charlotte, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Yeah, I was kind of confused on the morning after when she was talking about that.
Yeah. She was confused too, John.
She was? What was she confused about?
Well, she seemed to be saying that she wouldn't choose the morning after pill, but she's in favor of contraception. But the morning after pill is for the morning after. And so if she believes that life begins at conception, then it doesn't seem like she should be in favor of the morning after pill. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah, that cleared it up, because that's exactly what she said. She said she wouldn't be able to choose that kind of contraception.
Well, is she no
she said that, and that, yes, she did. If you replay it, she said she wouldn't choose it. Exactly.
She wouldn't choose it.
So now I'm a pro-choicer.
Okay, that's fine.
So if she wouldn't choose that type of contraception, that does not contradict her belief that life begins at inception. It actually backs it up if you think about it.
But she said that life begins at conception,
right.
But she believes in
contraception.
Conception
happened the night before, she wouldn't be able to participate in the morning after pill, which enforces her beliefs, which she actually walks like she talks.
But she...
That's scary to a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, no. What's scary is that she's completely unqualified to be the vice president or the president of the United States. In fact, what she said was she believes, she asked quite directly about the morning after pill. Do you believe in the morning after pill? And she said, yes, I believe in all forms of contraception. And Katie Couric tried to call her on it, and I'm running up against the clock, so I can't play it again, but tried to call her on it and said, well, then you wouldn't believe in the morning after pill if you believe that life begins at conception. I think Sarah Palin's confused. Nonetheless, glad to hear that they're tuning in out there in Charlotte. And hey, whatever you believe, speak up, vote your mind. I just want to make sure that you get to vote and that your vote gets counted and counted accurately. That would be a nice change of pace. And what's going to happen this year, I'm afraid, is going to be one hell of a meltdown. So please, people, bring your video cameras. Make noise. Get out there when you go to the polls. Make sure that people can vote. Make sure that you vote. And make sure that your candidate sign the StandingForVoters.org pledge so they don't concede this time around. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stick with us.
It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
Uh-huh.
And people tend to pass you
over
because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
Yes, that's our lovely theme music for our Green News Report. A report that we started doing when we were working with our friends... John Scott down at Green 960, up in Green 960 in San Francisco. We started doing the Green News Report whenever we sit in, and the lovely Desi Doyen is here. There's your theme song.
I know.
Aren't
actually, you kind of surprised me. I was in the middle of doing something else. Oh,
you were busy? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we got our Green News Report. We got a lot to cover.
Yes, let me get to it really quick. Okay, so Reuters is reporting that U.S. drivers are driving less, which is not surprising considering the price of gas, but it's the ninth straight month of miles being less. I would try to figure out.
And down in Atlanta, they have to drive less because there's no gas.
There's no gas.
They've run out of gas
in
town.
Well, I know, and you're jumping ahead of me. But, you know, the gas shortage, now I'll go ahead and go to that, has it's slowly easing this week. I don't know if any of you were alive in the 70s, but, you know, it was pretty bad back then.
I was.
And basically what happened is that Georgia's governor, Sonny Perdue, had actually written a letter to President Bush to ask him to authorize a release from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve because the supply chain was completely disrupted.
Sonny Perdue, the chicken magnate?
No, I think you're thinking Tyson.
Oh.
No, wait,
it's
is
Perdue
he?
Chickens.
Is he the
yes.
same guy? I didn't know
he's
that.
He's the chicken impresario.
Are you sure he's the same guy, though?
No, I don't know.
Okay, he's the governor. Anyway, he wrote a letter. Yeah. Bush said, yeah, okay, so the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has given them 900,000 more barrels of crude oil for a total of 5.7 million since September 3rd.
And that's where is that?
This is for Georgia. That was the
Georgia. Oh, for Georgia,
governor.
Where they were.
Yeah,
right. Okay,
and basically the supply chain was disrupted because of Hurricane Gustav and Ike.
Yes.
You know, but right now it's not going to help that much because that's only crude oil. They still have to send it to the refineries, and there are still most of the refineries are still are coming online.
But it has
right
helped
now
to ease the pressure on the oil and the
shortages. Yeah, it has
going
helped
on
the shortages going on here. They are getting, you know, they're trucking in from.
So
other
is that a
areas,
good thing that George Bush did?
Is it a good thing? Yeah. I suppose for the drivers of Atlanta, it's a good thing.
I just wanted to point out because, you know, 8 years now he's been in there, and I haven't been able to come up with a good thing yet. So when something happens, I'd like to say, oh, that was.
He
good thing.
Was able to help some people out, and that is a good thing.
There you go. See how low the bar is.
Yeah.
By the way, his approval rating all time low on Gallup, 27%. Approve of him now.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that an improvement lately?
No. Not for Gallup. It's an all-time low for USA Today Gallup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually lower.
But that's hardly green news. And
that's
so this
not
is your segment.
Well,
so
I'm trying to get to as many things as quickly as I can. So climate change is threatens to kill off up to a third of the planet's species by the end of this century if urgent action isn't taken to restore fragile ecosystems.
Says who?
Says scientists at a wildlife summit that opened today in Florida. It's sponsored by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. They called the summit to learn how to best protect Florida's wildlife and natural resources, especially because Florida is so reliant upon tourism. So they're trying to make sure that they have ways to, because, you know, the warming oceans and rising sea levels and, you know, the hunting and fishing and all of that goes on around there. They're saying that there is a ray of hope, however. We haven't lost all opportunity. We still have time if we act now. One of the things that they want to do that they're recommending is creating wildlife pathways so that animals can move freely northward as temperatures rise, which they are going to do, because animals cannot move quite as quickly or adapt quite as quickly as humans can.
So the Florida Fish and Game is talking about making these pathways?
Yes.
To allow for...
Well, these are what the scientists that came to the summit. Now, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Yeah.
They're the ones that hosted the summit. They're the ones that care about this. So I don't know if they're going to be able to get these things passed, but that's what the scientists
what
are recommending
Crist
that
to
they
say,
do.
Governor Charlie
we
Crist
don't know. I don't think he's actually issued a statement on that yet.
Well, he hasn't been given his marching orders yet. From
yes, indeed. And one of the other things that I wanted to say was that the... Oh, where did it go? You know how people have been talking about how windmills and stuff have... you know, they're afraid that they're going to... You know, birds are going to run into them, that, oh, you can't have windmills. I swear, this is a problem that people bring up all the time.
They're saying we don't want windmill because windmills
exactly.
and birds are going to fly
yes,
into
they're
it?
Like,
it's a hazard?
It is a hazard. Okay. It has been a hazard in the past. But a new study out of Britain is saying that actually they've discovered it's not as bad as it used to be, that birds, you know, there used to be a collision problem and also, you know, disruption of the habitat while you actually install all the windmills.
Right.
So they actually, this study, they said, okay, now we know that the new style of windmills, they're taller, they're not as low to the ground, and they're also spread further apart. And they've also discovered the utility of putting the windmills in a place where birds are not going to migrate through.
How would they know how to do that?
Well, they do a study on the birds. They figure out where the birds are where their migratory paths are, and then they don't put the windmills there.
But what if that's where the wind is?
Well, it might be where the wind is, but they have other ways of also mitigating that. Well, because they say that, you know, like the ones that you see in the Palm Springs, the San Gior, I can't pronounce it, but the pass where all the windmills are outside of Palm Springs.
Yes.
That area is very old. That was put together, I think they said in the
80s. Okay, well, you wouldn't want to put it where migratory, like where hundreds of birds. Do we have a situation where hundreds and hundreds of birds have flown into
No, it's not like that at all. It's basically,
the windmills I've seen are all white. It would be a gory, disgusting.
It would really be able to tell, but no, it's not such a great problem that you'd have some sort of mass killing of birds all at once. All that would, I'm sure people would have noticed.
Because I'll be against the windmills if that's what, if it's going to be killing birds in mass.
Well, I just wanted to say also that federal wildlife officials have asked a judge in Montana to put gray wolves in the Northern Rockies back on the endangered species list. It's a total reversal from February, because that's back when the government was saying that the animals were doing so well that they could be taken off the list completely. But since the production was lifted, over 180 gray wolves have been shot. Now,
really?
In 7 months out of a total population of 1,500. So we're talking over 10%. People were getting a little hunting happy, I guess, down there.
They're
so
just shooting. They're not hunting. They're, what, are they just shooting them?
Well, they're
what?
Shooting them for sport. And also, of course, you know, there's a very strong, you know, mix between the livestock and wolves. And that is something that is a problem for the ranchers. I think that they also get some sort of compensation from the government if they lose livestock.
So they've got dispensation now that...
Yes. Oh, in fact, the same judge...
Now they're off the list, now they can just go out and shoot them willy-nilly as much as they want.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, this judge, however... this is
Sarah Palin's got to be happy about it.
Well, there's
that.
Another Sarah Palin story in here, too.
Okay.
So this was in February was when they were the government said take them off the list. The same judge in July said put an injunction on they were going to actually have a public hunt. They were going to get a group of people together and let them go out and hunt together and kill all these wolves. But the judge said, no, you can't do that. We're going to put an injunction on this. We're going to study this and make sure that we are doing right by the wolves.
Why were they going to have a public hunt? Just for fun?
Yeah, I think
get a posse? A
you
wolf
know,
posse together?
I think so. I think
nice.
So. Let's
what, state, what state was that?
That was in Montana. But it was also covering, you know, all the Northern Rockies. So we're talking Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, those places.
Wolf posse.
Yeah. So moving on. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed legislation yesterday that establishes new incentives discouraging sprawl in the state of California in future decades. Now, it's kind of an iffy kind of legislation. He has balanced the needs between...
Urban
sprawl,
building
yes.
Sprawl.
Well, basically, you know, what happens is that instead of building in town, you know, with old buildings, rehabilitating old old areas, they actually tend to spread out.
Right.
Instead, incentives are, you know, in the suburbs to make it easier for builders to go out to the suburbs and build.
Right.
So now what they're going to do is implement a series of incentives to help encourage home builders to build in town instead of out of town. And they get incentives to build high-density housing, you know, in commercial areas.
So that's a good thing, right?
That's a very good thing. The only problem that with this legislation, though, is that in order to create these incentives, one of the things that they've done is they have eased some of the environmental restrictions so that, you know, it's a
good for urban sprawl, it's bad for the environment.
It wouldn't necessarily be bad for the environment. It just means that there will be fewer and lesser restrictions upon these home builders. Now, commercial real estate guys did not get this, and they're also angry about that. They opposed the bill because they either want to get the same incentives to build in town rather than out of town that the homeowners got.
Well, the less restrictions, the less regulations from government, the big government, the better.
You
what
know,
could
there
possibly
are
go
so
wrong?
So many competing interests. There are
the
lots
regulations.
Of, I know. It's the that's what many
it's
people
It's not like
look
we'd
at.
Have to come in with $700 billion and bail them out.
Yes, because we know how well that goes. Right. Oh, but the other thing I didn't get to mention. Port of L.A., that also Port of L.A. and Long Beach, those are the largest port in the United States, busiest cargo port. Now, they've just implemented a clean air program where they're going to actually phase out older trucks. Now, one of the things is the Palin story. She actually wrote to Schwarzenegger and said, please don't pass this bill because all of Alaska, you know, we don't have roads, so we get most, all of our residents get most of their stuff through cargo that is shipped here, so you're going to increase the tax on those trucks to get them phased out. You're going to cause me a problem and all of my people a problem. It's like, well, what about that road to nowhere that she wanted? Why didn't she build some roads for her people?
Yeah, park the trucks out there. The hell with her. Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. You're back on Friday, right, with the Green News Report?
Yes, okay.
All right. And I think we're going to try to get John Gideon of Daily Boating News right after this. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Malloy, 44 minutes after the hour.
What is evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here.
You won't go telling anybody that. You won't go tell me that.
And it's not worth fighting
for. We're going to fight for it tooth and nail between now and November 4th, and I have a feeling sometime after that. The man who will be joining me and you in that fight, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, on the late shift tonight. Hey, John, welcome to the show. Oh, I got to hit him. There we go. Wait a minute. You got him? Hey, John.
Hello.
How are you, sir? Thanks for jumping in late for us. I know it was a huge day today. All kinds of meltdowns going on all around the country, John. And I wanted to get a quick rundown before we finish up tonight's show.
Sure.
What's out there today?
Well, and these are our new issues. Stuff
yep.
that I hadn't even talked to you about.
No, bro.
We've got right now in. Missoula County, Montana, the head of the state Republican Party is challenging the registration of more than 3,400 county voters on the grounds that they don't live where they say they do.
Okay.
That's all got to be worked out. And all of this is happening to the county at the same time that they're trying to process over 12,000 absentee ballots, get them out, and
To send to the voters, the 12,000
yeah,
absentee
right.
ballots. And it's another challenging 3,400 voters. Okay.
That's right. And in Illinois today, this afternoon, a judge ordered the state to scrap all of their ballots and start all over again. This is just, less than five weeks from the election.
Why? What's wrong with the ballots?
Apparently, the judge... Somebody was not happy with the wording of one of the initiatives that was on the statewide initiative on the ballot and took it to court. The judge agreed that it wasn't honest and the wording needed to be
changed. How are they going to be able to reprint those and send them out absentee in time?
That's the question I've got, too. This is going to be a huge problem in Illinois. Statewide, they've got to do something. I don't know that the printers are going to be able to handle it. And, of course... many of those printers have contracts with the main vendors, ES&S, Sequoia, and so forth.
And Diebold,
Washington, D.C., they're going to have a big hearing tomorrow, including Sequoia, the voting system company that provides the machines to Washington, D.C., to discuss the meltdown that happened in their primary, and to figure out how there were 15,000, I believe it was the number.
Phantom votes, right?
Votes counted in one precinct where most of the other precincts averaged around 10 votes.
Votes showed up from nowhere, and our old friends at Sequoia voting machine.
They deny that it could... at all be their system. Michelle Schaefer said no.
She's the spokeswoman for Sequoia.
Right.
Yeah.
I suspect that the answer is yes, yes, yes.
She's a liar. And who's next? What else you got?
Let's see.
I'll say it. Yeah.
A report from Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
They ran, this is Palm Beach County, Florida, where they had their primary and then they had to revote or recount and recount and recount and recount it.
Because there was a close race and they couldn't, there was thousands of extra ballots, then not enough and whatever.
That's right. Okay. And they lost ballots and then they found the ballots and it's just been a real mess. Seven recounts. They finally did another recount. Using just a set number of ballots, 262 ballots, ran them through two different machines, and the machines rejected different numbers, but in the end, between the rejected ones, they had to hand count, and the machine counts, the vote totals remained the same.
So, wait a minute, so they ran the same ballots through different machines, and they got different results?
Yeah.
Nice. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. You check out daily voting news every day. You can sign up, have it delivered to your email, or you can come by bradblog.com. And there's a nice big box on the right side of every single page. It says daily voting news. It says daily voting news. and it gives you all of these stories that the mainstream corporate media is not putting together. They're not connecting the dots. John Gideon is. Thank you, John, for all you do.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
See you, bud.
All right, let me see if I can get in a couple of quick calls here. We're right up against the wall, but I want to try. Let's see, James in Victorville, California. James, there we go. Victorville, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, okay, I know why that Palin was picked.
Why is that?
It's when John McCain kicks the bucket, they need a president that makes George Bush look smart.
Yeah, well, they got her. Thanks for the call, James.
Yeah, one other thing. Before the debate, I just want to know if they were going to check her for an earbug.
What is it? Oh, for the back bulge thing.
Yeah, the back bulge and earbug.
She's it's going to be interesting. We'll be there tomorrow with a whole bunch of bloggers here afterwards, giving you the real scoop. Thanks, James. Appreciate
it.
Thank you, sir. Great to have you. All right, let's see. Barbara, I'm going to get through all of these, whether it kills me. Barbara in Madison, Wisconsin. Barbara in Madison, Wisconsin, you got 30 seconds. What do you got?
I wanted to say that if you listen carefully to what Palin is saying, she keeps saying choice.
Right.
But the neocons, the Republicans, don't want to give women a choice.
That's right.
They want other people to make the choice for women.
Exactly.
So if you're pro-choice, you want to be able to choose when you have a child.
Right.
And if you're pro-life, which is what they call themselves, that means that other people want to choose for you. And the interesting thing is if those people were really pro-life, they would fight as hard as they're fighting against the abortion issue, they would fight that hard against war.
And against the death penalty. I concur, Barbara. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging on there. In fact, when it comes to... pro-choice, pro-life, she, made the announcement that they were proud of Bristol for choosing to have her child. No, they shouldn't be proud of her. They should say she had no choice. Let me see. Do I have time? Yeah, let's try. Mario in Los Angeles.
Hi. Thank you for your call. Great show tonight. I'll
appreciate
be brief.
That.
Thank
Please
you.
Do.
I feel that this Wall Street bailout, quite frankly, is a plan by Paulson and Bush to get all the money out of Social Security. You see, first of all, Paulson has been planning this emergency Wall Street crisis bailout now for 6 months now.
Yeah.
And see, there's no more money in the Federal Reserve because they bailed out AIG. And when Paulson gets access to all the money in the Treasury, this bailout will, with no oversight, eventually there'll be no more money left in the Treasury.
I hear you, Mario, and I got to run, and you might be right, except for the fact that I don't think these guys can plan anything, much less coming up figuring out how to do this in advance. I know they had the bill in advance, but these guys are an unmitigated disaster. I want to thank here in the studio Desi Doyen and Jason Jeffries. I want to thank up in get KPHX Mothership Ian Huff. I want to thank Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me the honor to sit in for Mike tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with the vice presidential debate and a bunch of bloggers afterwards. And then again on Friday, and my special thanks, because I always forget her, Agent 99 over at bradblog.com, politely manning the chat room. Delighted you could all be with us tonight. Hope you will stick with us for the rest of the week. It has been my pleasure. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll see you tomorrow night.